Please turn your Bibles this morning to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start reading with verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 1. So, as you're turning there, I've been thinking in the last couple of weeks about all the things that I need to get done in the next couple of weeks. This season is one of the busiest seasons of the year. I generally call like November through the end of January the gauntlet. That's how I view it. Like things need to get done, and it doesn't let up until after we have our congregational meeting in January. And it's like gearing up for, okay, Christmas is coming up. And it's not just church stuff that needs to get done, but it's all the holiday stuff that happens around as we celebrate with family and friends. And there's lots of extra church things like the Christmas give. And I'm noticing that there's been a lot going on, and I'm worried about forgetting things. So the other day, I took out a note thing on my phone, and I just started making a list of all the things to do. And like, I have a list, I have it called church to do, and then I've got a checklist of everything I just gotta make sure that gets done like every week to get ready for like just normal church stuff, and then every month, because like sometimes I'll get to the end of the month and I'm like, oh, I didn't schedule nursery workers or whatever that might be, right? So I'm making myself a bunch of lists right now, and then Nancy has a list for the Christmas give, and I have my own separate list for the Christmas give, and I'm trying to make sure that those things match and get connected together, and I'm just focusing on all the things that need to get done. And also, I'm finding myself very frustrated because of this. So it's a different limitation than what I'm used to, and I'm learning exactly how much that I would normally do that I just take for granted. Like, I didn't realize I did that until I was like, do I really want to walk down the hallway to go over there? I mean, I'm talking about, like, little piddly things, little chores that need done. I got to run back downstairs because I forgot this thing when I was down there. Like, it's been kind of crazy for me. And I'm trying to sort out in my life how to get things done and be productive and be the right kind of productive. As we look at our world, very much of it is about what can you do, what can you get done, how productive you can be. I know many of you who are in the workplace, in the workforce, are thinking about all the different tasks that you have to do at your job. And as I talk to many of you, it feels very much like the prevailing attitude and mindset is get more done with less. Do more with less resources. It's like kind of like in the Old Testament with Pharaoh, more bricks, no straw, you know, is the mentality. And we can become slaves to whatever forces are trying to make us be productive in a particular way. And then we can think about that push for productivity of what you can do, or specifically like the world is like, what can you do for me? And we can take that and bring that attitude and mindset into our relationship with God, where we think God is basically going, you need to be productive for me. Now, there is a certain kind of fruitfulness and productivity that God has for us. He does have good work for us to do, but it's important that we have the right mindset about it, because if we don't, then we're going to end up just frustrated and disgruntled and annoyed because, oh God, do you really have that one more thing for me to do in my already to-do list? We sang this morning about making room for him to do what he wants. That was not intentional. I planned this worship set a long time ago, completely forgot about it, you know, wrote this message, felt God leading me to this. But I think it's important for us in this crazy busy season to be asking God, what is it that you want me to do? Never mind what I think I need to get done, my to-do list. Lord, help me to be connected to you and to be productive in my relationship with you, but not to bring any of that other baggage from the world into this relationship that I have with you. All right? So we want to read this morning in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 1. We'll read this first section here. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these things in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, thinking about how to be productive in our relationship with God in the right mindset and in the way that God intends, I want to point out a starting place as Peter writes to these believers. First of all, in verse 1, we've just got an introduction to his letter of 2 Peter. And he introduces himself, he tells them who's writing. And look at what he says here. He says, Simon Peter, and how he views himself is a servant. The word behind this is actually the word for slave. He's a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So his mindset is, I belong to Jesus, I'm about his business. The word apostle means one who is sent. So I've been sent by Jesus, I'm a servant of Jesus. That's what my life is about. I'm following him, and I'm doing the things that he wants me to do. And he's writing to a group of believers. He says, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, it's very important that we get this framework right. He says that they have received a faith that is valuable. That's what the word precious means. They have received a faith that is valuable, and they've received it not through their own righteousness, not through doing good things. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do good things, but what we have from God comes not through what we are able to do, but what he has already done, what he has done on the cross, specifically our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this verse is saying that Jesus is God. By the way, if you're driving up and down 81, you see those billboards, you know, is Jesus God, Jesus is not God, whatever they say. This verse and many others really point to the fact that Jesus is God. So Peter is calling Jesus God here, and he says, we have a valuable faith that we have received because of Jesus' righteousness and not our own. Now in verse 2, he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God, and that's God the Father, and of Jesus our Lord. This is important. Our starting place for productivity in God is a place of abundance. He says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Grace is the favor of God, like God looking kindly on wanting what is best for us, wanting our good. We have God's favor and we have peace from God, this idea of well-being and wholeness within our souls, that things don't have to be chaotic, but we can be at rest in Him, we can be calm in Him, there can be tranquility in Him because of our knowledge of Jesus. And it says that this favor from God and this peace from God are ours in abundance. We talk about the world's view of productivity. We've got to get things done. And often this comes from a mindset of scarcity, a place of there's not enough and you need to work harder so that you can have more, whatever that is, right? It's like we have limited resources and it's hard work and you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and you work hard and you earn and you make more for yourself or whatever. And whether that's money or resources or whatever, fill in the blank with whatever. But it's this idea of there's not enough of something and you need to make more so that your life can be full, right? So that you can have abundance. And from God's perspective, when it comes to our relationship with Him, we start in a place of abundance. We're not like Oliver Twist in an old movie where he's in the workhouse and he's like slaving away and they get this little bowl of whatever it is, three times a day, and he goes up and he's gonna say, "Please, sir, I want some more." You know, like we have this mindset with God sometimes. "Please, sir, I want some more." And I gotta admit, like as a father, I'm kind of the one who's like, "No, go away." Like, you know, like we only have this bag of goldfish and it's gotta be rationed out between five kids over the next 2 days. And no, you may not have more. Like, that's kind of my mindset. But fortunately, God, our Father, is not like that. He has abundance for us. And He wants to fill our lives with grace and peace. And those things sound like the opposite of what we normally feel when we're trying to be productive. Because what I normally feel when I'm trying to be productive is pressure and stress. Like, I'm trying to make someone else happy, and it's stressful and hard on me to get the task done so that they will be happy with it, whoever that may be. And with God, we start at this place of grace and peace. We already have His favor. We don't have to work for it. And He wants us to be filled with a calmness and a peace about it. All right? It goes on to talk about a partnership that we have with Him. It says here in verse 3, that His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. In other words, He gives us, He bestows on us gifts and benefits so that we can live the life He wants us to live. It says He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. The idea of godliness is this awesome respect that we have for God and who He is, this piety and this sense of we are devoted to Him. And what do we need for our lives and for our relationship to be devoted with Him? Well, it says that He's giving us those things that we need. We don't have to generate them on our own. And we come to them by knowing Him, and not just knowing things about Him, but having a relationship with our God, living with Him, and He called us to Himself for His glory by His own goodness. And this word for goodness is not the normal word for goodness. It means moral excellence, like God's character. God's good character. It was used in ancient literature to describe the great military exploits of certain leaders, and everybody like kind of respected them and marveled at what they did because of how good they were at what they did. They were exemplars of courage and uprightness and honesty and all those virtues, right? So this is talking about virtues. And so God supplies what we need so that we can live life with Him virtuously through our experiential relationship with Him. And it says, through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. So God has made promises to us. and he wants us to partake of his life. This word participate means that you would be a partner with God. I don't know how, if you've ever had to go into business for yourself and then you partner with other people and they come and share in the work. And sometimes with people, those relationships don't go so well. Sometimes they work really well. You kind of never know how it's going to end. But God, he's faithful and true, and he'll never abandon us, and he'll never cheat us, and he'll never lie. And he is excellent and praiseworthy. And he says, I want you to come and participate in the work that I'm doing, and you're going to be partners with me, companions with me, and you're going to share in my divine nature. You're going to partake of my life, is what he's saying here. So, we partake of this divine nature, and we've escaped, it says, the corruption of the world caused by evil desires, right? So there's this corruption that's in the world. The world does not have the right way of thinking. The world does not have the right way of living. The world does not understand the right way of being. And we're fleeing and escaping those ways of thinking and coming to an understanding of who God is, his ways, and living rightly before him. All right, so when it comes to then all my tasks and all my to-dos, I want to make room for it not just to be my list. I want to pray over those things, and I want it to be what God wants, and I want his direction and his wisdom. And I need to understand that I'm starting from a place of abundance already, that he already loves me, he already has favor for me, he wants to give me peace, and I'm working out of that rather than working to try to earn that. If that makes sense. So in this next section then, he talks about the things that we need to have in order to be effective and productive. And so this morning I've got my bag here, and I don't know if you've seen me carrying this bag around. It's very useful now that I get to use the crutches, because then I can put more things in it. But I carry this bag around back and forth to and from church, because in it are things that help me to be productive, at least help me get work done. First is my computer tablet thing. Sometimes I have another computer in here. I don't have that this morning. It was a little too heavy to carry. But I've got my computer where I can study, I can take notes, I can check emails, do all those types of things that I need to do. I won't go through the whole bag. This is just the highlights, okay? My planner, weekly planner, I write down all the things that have got to be done this week so I make sure I don't forget anything. Then I've got a journal. Sometimes when I pray, not every time when I spend time with the Lord, but sometimes I write things down, whatever my thoughts are, whatever my prayers are, whatever the things that he's showing me. I find that very useful. I've got a folder in here that I keep important documents. Like this would be where I keep sermon notes and things like that to travel back and forth between church and home, so I can get work done in both places. One of the things that I make sure I try to keep with me at all times, these little earbuds. I find these very useful when I'm making phone calls, but they're also noise canceling. So like this morning when I was looking over my notes and the kids were in the other room playing, I just popped those in, turned on the noise canceling thing. I don't hear them quite as much. I still hear them, but it kind of blocks out that noise. But these are just silly things. There are more things. Oh, wait, my absolute favorite thing, I have to tell you. These pens, if you've been around here for a while, you know about these pens. Nobody messes with my pens. See, I'm operating from a place of scarcity instead of abundance. I'm not very generous with my pens, but these are important to me because I like to take notes in various colors. All right. Those are some of the things that I carry around with me so that I can get work done that I think is done so that I can be productive. In this next section here, he kind of talks about our life with God and how we can be productive in our relationship with him. And he lists some things that we need to have in our spiritual bag, so to speak, so that we can be productive in our relationship with him. And so that's what we're going to talk about next. He says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. So first of all, remember back in verse 1, we started with a faith that we have received, a faith that's been passed along to us, an understanding of who God is and coming into a relationship with him and the truths of our faith, right? So we add to our trust in God goodness, and this is the same goodness that was used to describe how God acts, that moral excellence, that praiseworthiness, where God has done all these wonderful things. And he says, you need to develop that kind of character. And if you notice at the start of this, he does say that we have to put some effort into this. He says, make every effort. Literally, it says, apply yourself, essentially, in all earnestness, in all diligence. Like, God has given us the resources that we need, and now here's our part. Here are the things that we need to do. We are working on growing ourselves and applying ourselves. And he says, add to your faith this moral excellence, this good character. And then to that, he says, to add knowledge. We want to know more about who God is and the way that he operates. We've been working on Wednesday nights in the youth group talking about the Word of God. And we talked about different ways that we can know the Word of God. Like, for example, if I just called out a random scripture, Hosea 7:1 or whatever it might be, can you find that in the Bible? Do you know God's, you know how the Bible functions that you can go find that? There's another way of knowing what the Bible says, and if I'm like, hey, find me a verse on prayer, well, that takes a whole other level of knowledge of, like, do I know what the Bible's about and where to find things and those types of things. But more importantly, above all of that, is, like, it does no good to know where to find something in the Bible or where to find a verse or whatever if we don't actually walk and live in a relationship with the God who gave us this word, because the whole point of it was so that we could know him better. Not just know things about him, but be in personal relationship with him. So we want to be continually growing in our understanding of God's will and God's ways, that we would walk with him more closely. He says, add to knowledge self-control. This means that essentially we're able to say no to ourselves, that we're able to restrain ourselves. We all have these emotions, these impulses, these desires, and some of them do not line up with what God wants. And so we have to be able to say no and not act on those things that are not in alignment with God's desires, and not just give in to whatever it is that we feel in the moment. And there's so much pressure, like, just be you, do what feels good, all that kind of stuff. It's like, actually, no, God is calling us to something higher than that. And can we say no to ourselves? He says, add to your self-control perseverance. In other words, it's not going to be easy, and we need to be able to have the strength to hold up in the face of difficulty. When things get hard, do we have patience? Do we have endurance? Do we have steadfastness? And there are all kinds of things that God uses in our lives to grow us in that area. There are all kinds of things in our lives that happen that reveal where we might be lacking in that area. For instance, you know, I'm joking about my foot here, but I was telling someone this morning, it's just very frustrating to not be able to walk down the hall or to have to calculate, like, do I really want to walk down the hallway to get that thing? And it's a different level of frustration than I'd normally have to deal with. And I'm like, okay, God, how do I deal with whatever limitation I'm dealing with in a right way before you? And I got to tell you, I failed a couple of times or many times, right? And you guys are experiencing all kinds of limitations, all kinds of frustrations. And it's like, what is it that that you need to do to shift your mindset and attitude so that you're able to persevere through the difficulty? We're growing in our ability to persevere and endure. He says, add to your perseverance godliness. This is that word from earlier. It means this awesome respect for God, a devoted heart, living in piety before the Lord. So we're adding these qualities up. And he says, then mutual affection And this word is the word for brotherly love, this affection that we have for our brothers and sisters in Jesus. This the picture here is that we're supposed to be an affectionate family. And it's so very hard sometimes to use family as the ideal because many of our families are broken. Like, there are hurts that happen with parents and children. There are hurts that happen between brothers and sisters and human families. Yet God's picture for family is that people are fully devoted to Him and connected with one another and taking care of one another and showing affection and love for one another. And that's the picture that He's talking about here. Not kind of what happens sometimes in our human families, but like the ideal family is one where there's mutual care and affection. And that's how we're supposed to grow, as God has put us in this family, a body of believers, that we be truly connected with one another and that we show care and concern for one another. And then finally He says, add to that mutual affection, love. And so in a sense He's used two different words for love here. One has to do with our like brotherly affection for one another. And this one has to do with giving of ourselves. The great example of this is Jesus. He says, greater love has no one than this, and He laid down His life for His friends. This is the kind of love that God offers us, the self-giving love where He takes an interest in us in such a way that He's not just standoffish, but He's willing to pour out of Himself for our benefit. And He says, this is the kind of love that we need to grow in as we walk with one another. And in verse 8 He says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to have these things. We want to be increasing in these things. And in that way, we won't be ineffective. This word ineffective means idle or lazy. It describes someone who is unwilling to work. And Peter is saying, I don't want you guys to be that way. I want you to be effective in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Knowledge isn't just head knowledge, but it's experiential knowledge of, you know, being in relationship with someone. He says, I want you to be effective and productive. And if you do these things, you will bear fruit. Then He says, whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind. Right? So if you're not growing in these qualities, you don't really have the full picture of what it is that God wants for you. You're not seeing clearly. And they have forgotten that they've been cleansed from their past sins. And the point here is that when God cleanses me from my sins, there is something that results. It is a walk with Him that is fruitful and brings Him glory. But if you notice here, like, He doesn't give a lot of specifics about what you're supposed to do. He doesn't say, go to church 3 times a week and you'll be productive and effective. He doesn't say, read your Bible at 6 a.m. every morning and you'll be productive and effective. Now, obviously those are good things. I'm not saying you shouldn't do those types of things. But He doesn't make a list of things to do. What He describes are things to be. He is more concerned about our character, because as we develop this godly character, then that will naturally produce the kinds of activities that bring about fruit in our lives. So it's less about do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, and it's more about who is God calling you to be. He's giving you the resources to be that person. And He doesn't say that you have no part in it. There is something that you need to do. You need to work hard. You need to be diligent and make every effort to grow in these qualities, and that the end result will be a productive relationship with Jesus Christ. In verse 10, he tells them, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. God has called us. He has chosen us. Do our very best to make that calling sure and true. If you do these things, you will never stumble. You won't trip. You won't fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." He comes back here to the language of abundance. Literally, the text reads, "Entrance into the eternal kingdom of Jesus will be richly granted to you." That word "receive" that's translated in the NIV is actually supplied. And it means that God provides at his own expense entrance into the kingdom of Jesus. Right? It's hitting again the fact that it's not what you do that earns your entrance into the kingdom. It's ultimately a gift from God. We live our lives in line with the things of God, but it's all because of his grace and his mercy and his kindness, not that we can earn it. We simply receive this rich welcome into his kingdom. All right, so I've talked a good bit about my life lately and what my to-do list is and those kinds of things. I don't know what yours looks like. What are the things that you've been mulling over in your head? Like, I gotta write this down or I'm gonna forget. What are the things that are keeping you up at night because you're thinking, oh, that needs done, I can't forget that? Whatever it might be, understand that we are called to a fruitful, productive life in Jesus. But that doesn't come from a place where God is some brutal taskmaster like the Egyptian Pharaoh that's saying, more bricks, no straw. That's not the mindset of our God. That might be the mindset that you experience in the workplace. That might be the mindset that you experience out in the world, but that is not the mindset of our God. God is saying, I've got good things for you to do on this earth. Ephesians 2:10, right? We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do things which he prepared in advance for us to do. God has good things for us to do on this earth. But as we partner with him in that, we need to understand that we start in a place of abundance, with abundant grace and peace, because we are in relationship with him, because of our knowledge of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And God, he supplies all that we need for this godly life, and he wants us to participate in his divine nature and his divine power. He wants us to participate, be sharers and companions in his life, so that then as we grow and as we put forth effort and as we work, we are fruitful in our labor for him. We're told to be steadfast and have confidence that our labor in the Lord is not in vain, and that the end result, as we are working alongside of him, is that ultimately he provides us access to his eternal kingdom through Jesus our Lord. God is not in the business of making us work ourselves to the bone until we just wear out and die. That might be what the world wants from you. That's not who our Heavenly Father is. He says, come alongside of me. Receive my peace. Receive my strength. I will work through you. I will work alongside of you. And in the end, you will rest in my eternal kingdom. With Jesus on the throne, ruling and reigning for eternity. This is what he offers us. So, next time you're at your desk or on the job site, that pressure's on, the stress is there, call out to God and allow him to remind you what it's really all about. Give his peace and his grace for those moments each and every day. Would you pray with me this morning? God, I want to thank you for this opportunity that we've had to study your word. You are so good to us and gracious to us. And Lord, we cry out to you for help. We pray that you would help us to have an eternal perspective on the things that we're doing. And Lord, that we would find grace and strength in you to do the tasks which you have called us to do. Lord, I pray that we would be able to be a light to the people around us, and that you would fill us with a joy that draws the attention of others so that we can point them to the true joy giver, Jesus Christ. God, be exalted. Help us to do whatever we do for your sake. In Jesus' name.